Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
I'm excited to be with you tonight. For those who don't know who I am, my name is Brian. I have the honor and privilege to be able to continue on. We have been in a series that we've been going through that's through the discipleship materials that we have here at the church, and it's a book that our senior pastor, Pastor Dan, has written through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it's called I'm New, What Do I Do? And these discipleship material that we have here is so important to each and every one of us. And you might say, well, listen, I've been serving God for a long time. Guess what? You still need to be discipled. But on top of that, you need to be a disciple. And so these materials are so important that we grab a hold of them, never thinking, well, this is for somebody else, but always knowing that the Word of God tonight is for me. And so as we get into this, I want to just briefly touch, because I have a lot of notes today, and I'm going to have to, you know, Pastor Teresa got done early last week, and I can't promise that I'm going to do that, but I'm going to do my best. And so a couple weeks ago, Pastor Dan kicked off this series, and he talked about the number one thing that you need to do is you need to get consistent. See, he talked about, commitment without consistency is no commitment at all. You can't say that you are committed to Jesus Christ if you are not consistent in your walk with him. But it's important, because you leave these places and the church, and the devil wants to do everything he can to jump on your back, to beat you up, and to tell you that everything that you just heard is a lie, and make sure that you don't come back. So it's important that you do come back, that you continue to get consistent, that you continue to fill yourself up so that you're fully equipped to go out there in the world and do what God has asked you to do. Last week, Pastor Teresa up here, she talked about get to know the family. See, when you surrender your heart and life over to Jesus Christ, you are now accepted into a new family. Your old family may have disappointed you from time to time. She talked about maybe you didn't even like your old family. Maybe the family that birthed you didn't raise you. But I'm here to give you some good news. That you are no longer a part of the things of this world, but you are now grafted in and accepted into the family of God. You now have a new father. You now have a new family. You no longer are dead according to the things of this world, but you are now alive in Christ Jesus, accepted into the family of God. So tonight, we're going to continue on this series. And the theme for tonight is get grounded in your faith. It's important for each and every one of us, because we profess faith, but do we live faith? See, we need to get grounded in this word that we declare called faith. This is not just something that we say, I have faith in Christ Jesus. But it's important that this becomes a lifestyle that each and every one of us lives. And so tonight, again, we're talking about being grounded in your faith. And this can be a pretty exciting concept when you realize that you are now a part of the family of God. You realize that you have been accepted in. You find out that you are now royalty. But when you realize this and you get excited about this, and all of a sudden you start opening up your word and you read what the Word of God says, and you read the expectations that are falling on you, and maybe it starts to seem a little bit too big. Maybe you start to get a little bit too discouraged. Maybe you start to think, well, listen, this has got to be for somebody else, because there's no way that I'm going to be able to live out this word. See, we find ourselves at first getting really excited, but then we go out living our life realizing that, man, I might be a complete disappointment. I may not ever be able to make this happen. I may not be able to ever make this work. Because when I found out that I had a new life in Christ Jesus, that everything at that point has changed, and a transformation took place, and I now stepped into this new life, which is very true. But the reality is, I still have some of the road dust on me from that previous life. Maybe we get so discouraged because we hear that we're part of the family of God and we are now loved, but in the relationships that I have here in this world, I don't feel loved. I was told that I'm now dead to my sin nature, but the problem is, when I got on my phone, I was still tempted to sin. Or maybe I was told that I am cleansed from the inside out, but the words that are still coming out of my mouth are not clean words, but they're from my past. And so because our expectation to be completely changed is not met, we get discouraged and we end up walking away from the things of God instead of running to the things of God. And again, this is why it's so important that we understand that we are to be consistent in the things of God, because the more you're around like-minded people, the more you'll be encouraged to grow. The more you'll be encouraged to trust in God. The more you'll be encouraged to stay in the faith. But the reality is, you give your heart and life over to Jesus Christ, you run home and you check your B of A account, expecting it to be full. And you realize it's still overdrawn. You thought that all of a sudden now you were going to go home and your marriage was going to be completely healed. And you find out that you still got work to do. You know, I remember when I surrendered my heart and life over to Jesus Christ, I was at a men's rehab. And everything was so good. And can I tell you something? When I gave my heart and life over to Jesus and I stepped into my new life, I still had jail time to do because of the fruit that I sowed in my old life. When I stepped into my new life, I still was on felony probation. I still had to overcome addiction. I still had to renew my mind. I had to realize that I was not in a sprint, but I was in a lifelong marathon. That I had to pace myself and not get discouraged by the fact that I wasn't brand new right away in the natural things, but I was going to trust in God to continue to renew me from the inside out. And I was not going to allow myself to get beat up by the lies from the enemy that are going to come tell me that nothing's changed. Because the reality is, my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I was dead to sin and alive in Christ Jesus. I no longer was the man that I used to be. I just needed to shake off some old habits. You know, I always like to remind people, you live your life. In this case, I was 21 years old when I gave my heart and life over to Jesus Christ. I lived my life my way with my own habits and my own flesh for 21 years of my life. See, I had to shift some things. I only knew how to talk one way. I only knew how to live one way. But it didn't mean that I submitted to those things and allowed this to be my truth. I trusted that the Word of God was going to continue to change me. And there's a reality that takes place, because at the end of the day, as you continue to go out, and listen, I don't care how long you've been serving God. Can I tell you something? When you think that you got it all figured out, the devil will come and he will sock you in the face. And that's why it's so important to be rooted and grounded in the things of God. Because if you think for one second that you're above temptation, I'm here to tell you, you are deceived. And this is why it's so important, again, for us to realize you've been doing this for a long time. We've all been doing this for a long time. Maybe you just started doing this, but I'm here to tell you, again, pace yourself. Trust in the Lord. Do not lose faith. When you read his word and you realize you're not there yet, be encouraged. Because it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. All you got to do, if you stay in faith and trust in him, God will continue to bring transformation in your life. But you have to continue to stay rooted and grounded in the things of God. I want to read out of Philippians chapter 3, verse number 1. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. In Philippians chapter 3, this is my favorite chapter in the Bible. Philippians is my favorite book of the Bible. And I love this book, and my wife always makes fun of me. You always say you love this verse, you love this verse. She's thinking of it right now. I see a little smirk. But I do love these verses because they're alive and they're speaking to me constantly. I love when I open up the Word of God and he's got something to tell me. But in Philippians chapter 3, what I love about this is Paul the Apostle is writing a letter from prison to encourage the church. and to let them know, listen, God's got something good in store for you if you continue to trust in Him and continue to stand in faith. That the obstacles and the situations that you're in right now, don't worry about it. God's got that. All you got to do is stand firm in what He tells you. And so here in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 1, he says this. He starts off, he says, whatever happens, say whatever happens. Not some things that happen. Whatever happens. See, this says, regardless of what you're facing in your life, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. See, sometimes we don't feel like rejoicing. Sometimes we get so caught up in what's in front of us that we forget what He did for us. And so here he says, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. You know, it's so important that we hear these words, because again, it doesn't matter how long you've been serving God. It doesn't matter what you think you know. Because here Paul says, I'm never going to get tired of telling you to rejoice in the Lord. No matter what happens. Because it's our responsibility to safeguard our faith. See, we need to protect what God is doing on the inside of us. We need to make sure that we continue to stir ourselves up, believing God according to His word, trusting in what He says. Because the reality is, again, the devil's going to come smack you in the mouth. And sometimes we get so focused on what we believe God's promise should be, that we get discouraged that it doesn't happen the way that we want it to happen. Because we think that we can write a better story than He can. So here, he says, rejoice always in the Lord. I remember when I was at Set Free, when I first got there, I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. This is back in 2001. And I was so excited that I was no longer going to die and go to hell. And you know, it's funny, when they had told me when I went to Set Free that if I did my time there and worked their program, so many times you go to court, because I was still going to court, the judge realizes that you submitted yourself to a program, and so what was going to happen is they were going to tell me, you know what, Brian, good job. They were going to pat me on the back because I did such an amazing thing, right? I let my mom drop me off there against my will. And they were going to tell me, good job, Brian. We're going to give you time served because you made the right decision. So I remember I go to court and I'm excited that they're getting ready to release me from having to turn myself in. And the judge says, hey, you know, I see you surrender yourself to Set Free. It's a good program. A lot of people have come out of that and made an impact. That's good. You know, what we're going to do, you were supposed to turn yourself in next couple weeks, but because you're in the program, I'm sitting there, I'm like, here it comes. So because you're in the program, what we're going to do for you is we're going to let you go ahead and finish your 60 days in that program, and we're going to push back the date that you have to turn yourself in, so you don't have to turn yourself in until you finish the program. I'm like, did I just get double sentenced? What just happened? I got frustrated. I got discouraged. Because see, the reality of my faith was based on what God was getting ready to do for me. And when that didn't happen and it didn't work out the way that I wanted it to work out, I got discouraged and frustrated. I ended up leaving Set Free, going back on drugs for a minute, ended up finding myself back. Praise God, I'm here today, drug free. But I walked away frustrated. Why? Because I did not safeguard my faith. See, I was going to rejoice based on the turnout of the circumstance that I was in instead of rejoicing no matter what. See, God is not asking you to be excited when things are going good. He's asking you to be excited because he is good. He's asking you to celebrate because he's on the throne. He's asking you to celebrate because you don't have to die and go to hell. But it doesn't stop there. See, he wants us to understand, like the song that we sang earlier, we have a reason to praise. The fact that we are no longer going to hell, the fact that he gave us the Holy Spirit, the fact that he pulled us, listen, I would be, if I would have stayed in the mess that I was in, I thank God every day that I didn't die when I was out there with a needle in my arm, because I'd be in hell right now. I didn't know Jesus. I didn't love Jesus. I didn't fear Jesus. And I'd be in hell right now if I would have died. I'm grateful for what he has done. We're going to go to verse number 3. He says, "For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised." What is he saying? Listen, when you submit yourself to Jesus, you are now the chosen people. You are now set apart. You are grafted in. Because you have made a decision, it's no longer about the outward expression, but it's all about the inward expression. He goes on, he says, "We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort." See, we have to again rejoice because of what Jesus has done. We need to celebrate because of what he has done for us, what he continues to do, not based on what we can do. Every single one of us in this room was a hot mess before Jesus. And you can lie to yourself all you want, think you had it all figured out. But the fact of the matter is, none of us did. And that's why we came running to Jesus. And if you haven't come running to Jesus yet, don't worry. We'll get you by the end of the service. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 7 through verse number 8. Paul is just got done talking about all of the amazing things that he used to do according to the law. Now, maybe you're just like me, that the life that you once lived was not amazing according to the law. But the reality is, whether you were living according to the law or not living according to the law, if it was without Christ, I'm going to share with you what it means. He says, "I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done." He says, all of the things that I used to put value on is not valuable at all, because of what Christ has done. See, he paid the ultimate price. He's the only one that knew what was truly valuable. He laid his life down for you and I. He goes on, "Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I can gain Christ." See, our old works, our old desires, our old man is worthless. See, we used to put value on status. We used to put value on relationships. We used to put value on money. Maybe you're in here today and you still put value on money, value on relationships, value on what you obtain here on this earth, value of status, value of who you are and what you can accomplish. But see, Paul says, "I count it all as garbage because I have a true understanding that there is nothing that I can accomplish in this world that will ever measure to what Jesus Christ has done in my life." It doesn't matter what you think you can do. What matters is what he's already done. But these principles are so important, because if we cannot get ourselves to the reality that it's all about what Jesus has already done, then we will find ourselves in a place where we get so discouraged, because we will try to achieve it based on our own status, based on our own knowledge, based on our own ability. And I'm here to promise you today, you will never get there based on your qualifications. But if you trust in the fact that you are qualified because he qualified you, you won't get discouraged about what's going on. You won't get discouraged about what you're facing. You won't get discouraged about your shortcomings. You will continue to build up your faith. Get grounded in what God has said about you so that you can go on and be all that he's called you to be. It's time for us to keep our eyes on Jesus. If we're saying that we're willing to step out of the boat, keep your eyes off the wind and the waves. Keep your eyes on Jesus. When we say that we surrender our heart and life over to Jesus Christ, that is our first step of faith. Stepping out of the boat, saying, God, if you said it, so be it. I've never seen it happen in my family before. My family's never accomplished anything before. I've never seen it in my friends before. But listen, if at your word, call me out, my eyes will stay focused on you. The wind and the waves will not take you out, and Jesus will guide you to dry ground if you continue to keep your eyes on him. And the reason why we can assure that is because he gives us some resources to be able to do the things that he has called us to do. He gives us a new arsenal to fight the good fight of faith. He allows us the ability to believe in things that we do not see according to his word through his promises. He gives us the ability to do it according to the power of the Holy Spirit who comes alive on the inside of us. He equips us to live this life through the direct access we have to him through prayer. He gives us the ability to walk this out in our life, sharing this good news. He does not ask us to do this on our own, but he asks us to do this in faith, trusting in the word that he has told us, the promises that he gives us, the promise we believed when we surrendered our heart and life over to him. So how do we get grounded in our faith? We understand that God rewards living out our faith. See, it's not, again, just something that we declare. I have faith in God. You know, they go around, they do these polls, they do these surveys, and these crazy numbers come on how many people are truly that say that they have faith in God. The sad thing is our world would look completely different if the amount of people that say that they have faith in God actually lived out their faith in God. Pastor Teresa gave me this book to read one time, or told me about this book that's called Transform a City. That you will know your effectiveness as the body of Christ by the way the city is around you. What kind of impact are we making here in this world for the things of God? See, God is not calling us to declare faith. He's calling us to live by faith. When you say, I don't see it, but I know you said it, and if you said it, I will do it. Therefore, I choose to walk in it. He's going to call you out of some places that aren't going to make sense. He's going to ask you to do some things that won't make sense to you. Are you willing to trust him and do it? You know, the book of James chapter 2, you can go ahead and turn there. James, I love James. I'm going to say it again, babe. I love this scripture. She'll make fun of me later. That's okay. But I love James because James doesn't care what anybody's going to think. He's going to tell you how it is. You're either going to receive it and get to heaven, or you're going to deny it and you're going to go to hell. That's all. That's the bottom line. Who's ready? He's like that billboard you see when you're driving down the freeway. It says, Jesus or hell? That's James, right? He put the banner up there for us. And so here in James chapter 2, verse number 14 through verse number 16. And James says this. He says, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it with your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Do you realize that you're a light to all humanity when you say you're a born-again believer? That you carry the weight and the responsibility of those words when they come out of your mouth to lead people to Christ? He says, what good is it if you say it, but you don't show it in your actions? Verse number 15, suppose you see a brother and sister who has no food or no clothing, and you say to him, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? I mean, can I tell you something? I get convicted every time I drive past someone because of this scripture. Now listen, I can't feed the world, but as a collaborative body, we can. If each and every one of us went out there and did our part, the world would look different. Now the Bible tells us that the poor will always be amongst us, right? There's going to be some things that are going to be out there, but here he says, look, what good is it? You drive by, you see someone freezing to death on the side of the road, and we feel good about ourselves because we say, be warm, be well. Bless them, God. He said, I was trying to when I pointed them out to you, and you just kept on driving. Maybe the next one will be more obedient. Sorry, I'm going to move on. Verse number 21, we're going to jump ahead. He says, don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions work together. His actions made his faith complete. See, do we truly believe it? When we say that we have faith in God and we have faith in his word, do we truly believe it? Because if we truly believe it, then we would want to apply it. See, we ask God for help in our finances, yet we're unwilling to step out in faith and do what his word says and tithe. I'm going to meddle a little bit. Is that all right? Well, Brian, you don't understand how bad I need that. Yeah, well, God gave you the whole amount. But see, we say, God, I want you to bless what I have. He says, I'm trying to, but you choose to be disobedient. God, I want you to bless my relationship. I would if you'd actually get married and stop living in sin. See, do we have faith? Now, I'm not saying this to convict you. I'm not saying this to discourage you. I'm saying this to encourage you that if you want God to get involved in your situation, then let's get him involved in the situation. But we can't get discouraged when things aren't working out the way that we want them to, and we want God to just do what we want, but not do what he says. You know, I remember Melissa was pregnant with my son, Aiden. He's sitting back here doing the sound tonight. And I remember when she got pregnant, I found out I was having a son. I've told this story before, but I had a conversation with Melissa, and at the time we weren't married. I was living in sin. Found out she was pregnant and said, I don't want my son to go through the same heartaches I went through. I don't want him to have an addiction to drugs or alcohol. I don't want him to end up in jail. I don't want him to be brokenhearted. I don't want him to be fighting this uphill battle the way that I have to. So we need to make a change. And so we said, listen, we're going to make sure that when my son grows up, that he sees milk in the fridge instead of a six-pack. I'm going to make sure that when my son grows up, he's going to see a healthy marriage, not a broken one. I'm going to make sure that when he wakes up in the morning, he sees me in my word. I'm going to make sure that he understands that when I wake up and before I go to bed, I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to make sure that he knows that I don't know everything, but I trust in the one that does. And in order for me to have the promises that my God gave to me about my children, train them up in the ways that they should go. And when they depart, or they will not depart from it. If we train them in the ways that they should go, when they grow old, they shall not depart from it. I have a responsibility. Listen, if I want my children to trust in God, then I will train them up in the ways that they should go. So when they grow old, they shall not depart from it. I'm going to teach my children how to tithe. I'm going to teach my children the importance of healthy relationships. I'm not going to get worried about whether they like me or want to be my friends. I'm going to make sure that when they do everything that they're not supposed to do and they find themselves at a place where they think, man, I should have listened, I'm going to go back and ask my parents, what should I do in this situation? Because obviously what my flesh wanted didn't work out for me. So I'm going to trust in what God says now. I'm going to go back to the Word. I'm going to find out what God says. Listen, people are going to make mistakes. But are we going to choose to walk out our faith? I chose to raise my children up in outreach because I saw what God did with my heart, putting me out in the streets, showing me how to love people. See, faith is not a declaration. It's a life commitment. Are we going to choose to live out our faith every single day? God is not looking for somebody who can say it. God's looking for someone who can live it. We have to make a choice. Are we going to do what God has asked us to do? But as you live out your faith, you can do so by knowing that God empowers your faith. And this is really good news, because I know all of Brian's shortcomings. I am fully aware of the things that I'm good at, and I know that there's far more things that I'm not good at. But the good news is when you trust in God and say, I'm going to walk out my faith, you can do so knowing that you don't have to do it according to your power. You don't have to do it according to your ability. You don't have to do it according to your authority. You don't have to do it according to your wisdom. You don't have to do it according to your understanding. You could be fully empowered to do it according to His Word. Why? Because He that is on in the inside of you will empower you to go further than you ever could have dreamed. See, as you open up this text and you read this, you will find out there are different forms of baptism. There's the baptism of water, and then there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of water is a symbolic saying, I am dying to myself and I'm being alive in Christ. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is saying, listen, I'm no longer going to live according to my own authority, but I'm going to step into the power and the authority and the ability of God, no longer trusting in myself, but I want to live a fulfilled life. I want to live a powerful life. I want to live a life that is going to exceed my expectations, not because of who I am, but because of who He is. I want to step into the authority that God has given me. I want to be able to do all the things that I never could have dreamt about. But see, we have to first submit ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're here tonight and you've never been able to do that, you've never had been prayed for to receive the empowering of the Holy Spirit, be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I encourage you, when we're done with church tonight, prayer teams will be up here, come get prayed for. Because too many times we try to live as Christians according to our own ability, and we wonder why the devil's beating us up. Because we're unwilling to step into the authority. We think it's weird to pray in the Spirit. Can I tell you, praying in the Spirit's the only thing that gets me through certain days. There are groanings. I can't even tell you why I feel the way that I feel and what's going on the inside of me. But when I start praying in the Spirit, something changes. I go from groaning to standing tall. I go from being in a place where I'm hurting to being in a place where I trust in God. I go from being in a place where I don't understand to now I see clearly. See, all of a sudden, you now step into a different mode. Well, I don't want to have hands laid on me. Listen, you can sit in that seat, and I'm telling you, barely get by for the rest of your life. Or you can choose to be empowered to do all that God has asked you to do. The book of Acts, chapter number 1, verse number 4 through verse number 5. It says, once when he was eating with them, speaking of Jesus, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. See, they were on assignment. They had the Great Commission. They had to go into all the world, baptizing in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They had to go out into the world and make disciples. They had to go out in the world and be bold against persecution. They had to go out in the world and live a life that they did not fully understand. And Jesus tells them, don't even try it until you receive all the empowerment. Because if you go out there and try to do it without being empowered to do it, you're going to find yourself in a place of brokenness, discouragement, frustration. Why? Because I have the answer to all of the problems. I have all the weapons to defeat these spiritual giants you're going to face. But you have to be willing to receive this. Take it as your own. Equip yourself through the power of the Holy Spirit who wants to come alive on the inside of you. Verse number 8, he goes on. He says, but you will receive power. I love this next part. He says, when? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be witnesses telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Listen, wherever you go, wherever you travel, it will come out of you in such a way that you can't even get credit for the miracles, signs, and wonders that are getting ready to take place, because the power of the Holy Spirit is going to come alive on the inside of you and equip you to go out and do the work of the ministry. I never, you know, you hear the saying, don't go with a knife to a gunfight? Yeah, so I heard some laughing. You've heard that story before. You've heard that phrase. Why would we want to go out and fight this spiritual war without being fully empowered to be able to do all that God has called you to do? To be able to live how God has called you to live, to walk in the authority that God has called you to walk in. I remember I was having lunch with Pastor Jim a while back, and I was asking him, I said, Pastor, how did you sustain ministry for so long? It's hard. Ministry's hard. How did you do it for so long? And with such joy. Such passion. Every time he came to service, to the end of his days, writing notes, speaking boldly the truth. Said, you know, Pastor, I enjoy construction. I enjoy doing those things. As I can, according to my own natural ability, I can build a wall in someone's house, step back, and they'll tell me, that wall looked good. I'm like, I know. I did a good job. Again, I'm fully aware of what I'm capable of. But I can come up here and preach a message, come off this platform, and you say, that was a good word. And I'm like, you're lying to me. Because I don't stand up here in my ability. I hate speaking in front of people. I'm uncomfortable getting on this platform. According to my ability. The last time I preached on a Wednesday night, I told Pastor Dan and Pastor Jess, and they texted me. I said, you know, the whole time I was preaching, my flesh, my mind was saying, well, I better have enjoyed it because this is the last time they're going to ask me to do this. I botched that one. It's the reality of how I think. Because, see, God is going to call you to some things that you are not equipped to do according to your ability. It's not going to feel comfortable. It's not going to feel, you might say, well, I don't ever plan on going on a platform. Well, listen, you're going to come across somebody in the grocery store. You're going to come across someone in the gas station. God's going to ask you to pray for one of your relatives or somebody's child. And you're going to say, listen, God, you got the wrong person. I stood up here one day, and I heard Pastor Kobernick pray, and I saw the miracles. Have them go to him. He's the pastor of prayer. God says, I've equipped you. You don't need to have me come anoint your house or Pastor Dan do it. God's called you to do it. Take authority over your home. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See, God has called you to go and do full-time ministry and has equipped you and given the ability to be empowered to do it. The question is, are you going to step into the empowerment that God has given you so that you could go out and fight this spiritual war and come out victorious, seeing the world around you changed because you submitted to the power of God instead of to your own ability? What's your comfort level? We all have a threshold. We say, yeah, God, I'll do this, 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 but that's for somebody else. I remember first time Pastor Joel came to me down at the FDC and says, hey, God spoke to me and told me that you're called to give a message down here at the FDC. I'm like, you got the wrong person. I'm not called to do that. He says, yeah, you are. I thought, oh, I'll pray about it, Pastor Joel. We'll see. I'm the wrong guy. My brother Martin was down there giving the word every single week. He knew the word. And when he spoke, it sounded good. Got the wrong guy. God says, I'm not looking for the guy that can just sound good. I'm looking for the guy that knows that I am good. I'm looking for the guy that's willing to say, God, if you said it, I trust you. I will do it. I sat in prayer right before this message. And I said, you know, every single time I preach, it's difficult. The only thing that gets me back on this platform is knowing that if God did it for me before, he's going to do it again today. Not by my might, not by my power, but by his spirit, says the Lord. Once God empowers you to live out your life in faith, you got to know that God partners with your faith. He doesn't just give you the tools and say, all right, figure it out. Go do it. He says, no, I'm with you. I'm going to walk alongside of you. I'm going to show you how to use these weapons. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to continue to build you up. See, again, we go out and we get discouraged because it doesn't always work out the way that we want it to work out. And so we end up going away from the things of God instead of pressing into the things of God. Saying, it may not have worked out the way that I thought it was going to work out, but God, I trust you in this. You know, Joseph did the right thing by saying no to Potiphar's wife. What if he would have given up when he was thrown in prison? Because it didn't work out the way that he wanted it to work out. What is it in your life right now that seems like it's not working out the way that you thought it was going to work out? What's going on in your life right now where you're saying, well, listen, I heard that I was empowered, but it's not showing up the way that I wanted it to show up. And so you've been getting discouraged, feeling like you're all alone in this fight. I'm here to encourage you. You are not alone in the fight. You are not doing this on your own. God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you always, no matter what depths you go to, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how far you find yourself. He is with you always. All you got to do is trust that if he's asking you to do it, If you're willing to take that step of faith, that he will empower you and he will come alongside of you and he will partner with you. See, through prayer and through impartation, God wants to use you as a vessel for his glory. He doesn't want you, again, to be a sideline Christian. He's not asking you to sit back and wait till it's your turn to get into the game. I'm telling you right now, it's your turn to get in the game. I need to shut up and move on, so I'm going to go through this quickly. Mark chapter number 16, verse number 16 through verse number 18. He says, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. You know, there is an eternal life that is waiting for each and every one of us who surrenders their heart and life over to Jesus. It says, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who doesn't, there's an eternal judgment that is waiting. When you come to the realization that you don't have to die and go to hell, we should be so excited about that realization that we got to run out and tell somebody else about it and not let them die and go to hell either. When you understand that hell is a very real place, we need to be on assignment to make sure that hell does not get any heavier, that Jesus Christ came and he died for us, he died for others as well, and we need to go tell them so we can continue to build the kingdom of God. See, Jesus is not slack in his return, but he wants everybody to spend their eternal life with him. We are on assignment to make sure that that happens. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak new languages. They will be able to handle snakes in safety. And they will drink, or snakes with safety. They will drink anything poisonous. It will not hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick. And they will be healed. We need to grab a hold and understand the authority that we carry when God partners up with us in faith to go out and do what he's empowered us to do. I'm going to tell this story quickly because I got to wrap up. But I remember when my son was sick years ago and the doctors kept telling me, listen, we don't want to say it's cancer, but we want to run some more tests. And everything that they were looking at just kept turning out bad. We got to run another test. We got to run another test. We got to have the oncologist look at it. And so I remember one night I was sitting in my chair and they said, listen, by 5 o'clock, we're going to call you because we're putting this test in and it's going to be stat. And so you're going to get a call by the end of the day to find out what's going on. And I was believing God for a good report. And I remember 5 o'clock came and went. Nobody called. I tried to call. They were closed. Something happened. They couldn't get the answer to me. And I remember I cried out to God, and God says, "All right, I said, God, I needed a good report. He says, I gave you one 2,000 years ago, that by my stripes, your son was healed. Man, I jumped up out of my chair. I called my wife and my daughter into the room. We laid hands on my son. We called heaven down. I remember he told me after, he's like, Dad, you grabbed me a little too hard. Listen, I wasn't playing. I was pissed off at the devil. We give him too much credit. We give him too much authority. Listen, he has given us all authority here on earth to go out and to live the life that he's called us to live. It's time for us to take on that authority and to walk by faith and know that if God said it, so be it. Did you get something from God tonight? But I want to make sure that before we leave this place, that nobody dies and goes to hell. Now, I can't make you go to heaven, but I can present the opportunity. See, when we go back and we remember the scripture, if you believe in Christ, there's a heaven that's waiting for you. If you've submitted yourself to Jesus and made a decision to become born again, then you have an eternal life with Christ that's waiting for you when you take your final breath here on this earth. But if you choose to do life your way, according to your own understanding, according to the ways that you want to live, saying, listen, I'm not going to submit my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. I want to do it my way. When you stand before Jesus Christ, you will hear the words, go from me. I never knew you. And there is an eternal judgment that's waiting for you. Now, like I said, you can go back and read this book that we're talking about today, and it's going to talk about the eternal life and the eternal judgment, and you have a decision to make. But I'm standing up here today because I understand the importance of making the decision to surrender your heart and life over to Jesus Christ. Jesus understood the importance. That's why he says, listen, if this cup could pass, let it be done. But Lord, not my will, but your will. If I need to go to the cross and die so that humanity can spend their eternal life with me, if that's the cost, I'll pay up right now. Are you willing to make a decision to surrender your heart and life over to Jesus Christ? Because you can sit in your seat, do it your way, continue to get beat up by the world. Well, I went to church. I served as an usher. I did all the right things. I said the prayers at the end of it. Listen, I give change to the person that I come across on the side of the road. I volunteer in the children's ministry from time to time. I'm a good person. Good people don't make it to heaven. People that have surrendered all of their heart and all of their life, that's how you get to heaven. And I want to give you an opportunity today. There's a man by the name of Nicodemus. He was a good man, better than all of us. Paul the Apostle, like we read today, he says, listen, I was a good man. I did it the right way according to the law. But it's all counted as garbage if I don't have Jesus Christ. See, Jesus went to the cross and paid an ultimate price for you. He tells Nicodemus, Nicodemus, if you want to get to heaven, you must be born again. Nicodemus didn't understand. How do I get born again? I'm a grown man. How do I climb back into my mother's womb? He says, no, you're misunderstanding the point. What's born of the flesh is flesh. What's born of the spirit is spirit. It's time for you to die to yourself and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Saying, I'm not going to continue to do it my way, but I want to do it his way. Now, it's not an abracadabra thing. It doesn't just happen. But it's a lifelong commitment that you have to make. So if you've been running from God instead of to God, I'm speaking to you. If you've never made a wholehearted commitment to Jesus Christ, I'm speaking to you. If you're not sure today, make sure today. I'm speaking to you. Because how sad it would be if you get into your car, you start driving home, and you get into a car accident, and you die, and you stand before Jesus, and you're like, well, I thought I had more time. I thought I was good enough. God, I did miracles in your name. I cast out demons in your name. I went to the Rock Church. I was there on a Wednesday. Even went on Sunday nights sometimes. I was a good person. He says, go for me. I never knew you. You showed up to church. You did your good deeds. But you never gave me your heart. And that's what I was after. I'm going to give you an opportunity today to surrender all of your heart and all of your life to him. So in a moment, I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. Clap my hands together like this. When I clap my hands together, here's what you're going to do. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Well, Brian, if I raise my hand, I'm going to be embarrassed. There's all these people. They see me in church all the time. They think that I'm already saved. What are they going to think? Who cares what they think? We should only care what God thinks. But on top of that, Pastor Dan pointed out this last weekend. When people walk in the aisles, you know what happens? We clap. We don't, it was funny, he says, we don't boo you. We clap for you. Why? Because it's the best decision you've ever made. This is why we're here. This is why someone brought you. This is why people continue to love on you. Because they don't want you to die and go to hell. Will you be so bold today to say that I'm going to confess Jesus? See, the Bible says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me, I'll deny you. It's a choice you have to make. So when I count to three and clap my hands together, you've been running from God instead of to God, I'm speaking to you. Never made the wholehearted commitment to Jesus Christ, I'm speaking to you. Not sure today, make sure today. I'm speaking to you. I did this once before. And I heard once saved, always saved. That's a lie. I have a question. Were you ever truly saved? If you walked away from him, come back. Jesus says, he that endures to the end, he that endures to the end shall be saved. Remember, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. When I count to three, clap my hands together. If you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, get ready to get your hand up. One, two, three. Anybody in this house today? Praise God, I see your hand. Anybody else today? Didn't embarrass them, won't embarrass you. Anybody else today? Amen. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? You're sitting there and you're thinking, I see another hand. Praise God. Say, man, I know I should, but I don't want to. Not my will, Father, but your will. Maybe you're sitting there going, I'm too far gone. You don't know the mistakes that I've made. You're right, I don't. But I know that you're never too far gone for him. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I got to wrap this up because I went too long tonight. But I want to give you the opportunity. So I'm going to go through one more time. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, raise your hand. Your heart's beating. You wishing I would shut up. Raise your hand. I won't get offended. Anybody else today? Anybody else today? Well, hey, listen, we saw two hands go up. Let's give God a praise. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I know there's more than two. I can't make you do it. You have to make the choice. I could sit here and coerce you. I can try to pull you down the aisle. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you came with someone today or you got somebody sitting next to you, I love Pastor Dan always says, give him a little nudge. Ask him, do you want me to go with you? Because there's more than two today. But the two that raised their hand, listen, as everybody stands up, and the 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 that should have raised their hand, I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat, come up here to the front. I want to shake your hand. I want to meet you. So as everybody stands to their feet, if you said you're going to surrender your heart and life over to Jesus Christ, or you should have surrendered your heart and life over to Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat and come up here to the front.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness.
Anybody else?
Was bought with the precious blood of
God's
Jesus
tugging on your heart right now.
Christ. Oh, come to.
He's calling you home.
Altar.
The praise God,
Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
You know, this is my favorite part of every church service. Because this was the point where my life changed. I was sticking needles in my arm. I was saying things about God. I didn't believe that there could be a God in heaven and have me feel the way that I felt in my heart. And he changed me. continue to be consistent. Continue to understand the family that you've been accepted into. The God who has your back. And I'm here to tell you right now, you will look back and remember this day and realize, I can't believe that I was ever living my life without him, when you see what he has done to transform your life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm ask you to repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you went to the cross, that you died for us, that Jesus, because you defeated death and are now seated at the right hand, I can now say that I'm a Christian, that I'm going to heaven, that I'm born again, that I'm denying hell. So come, Holy Spirit, into my heart, into my life. We thank you. From this day forward, we can declare that I'm going to heaven, that I'm denying hell, that I'm going to live my life according to your terms, not my own. I give myself to you fully. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. You are now in the family of God. Here's what we're going to do. This is Pastor Joel on my right, your left. Here's what he wants to give you: some information. He wants to give you a friend. He wants to give you a little bit of, now that you've made this decision, what do I do next? So if you guys will do one more quick thing. If you'll make a left-hand turn, follow Pastor Joel, and you guys will come right back. Your family will wait for you. Amen. Could we give God one more hand? Man, there's more than two. God's doing something. Listen, let's get grounded in the faith. Let's understand that the authority that we now have the ability to walk in because of what he has done. When we're done praying today, I want to encourage you. If you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, the prayer teams will be up here in the front. Stop bringing a knife to a gunfight. Get equipped so that you can go out there and live the life that God has called you to live. Lift up your hands. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every person that's called by your name. I thank you, Lord God, that as they continue to walk out their life according to your ways, as they continue to trust in you, I thank you, Lord God, as they get grounded in their faith. I thank you, Lord, that blessing you will bless them and multiply, that you will multiply them. I thank you, Lord God, like the stars in the sky and the sands in the seashore, Lord God, these promises, because we are grafted in, are for us, that your word is yes and amen. So we receive your promises today. I thank you for your children, and we declare right now in faith that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers, to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.